Welcome to Peak Health, a radio show dedicated to empowering you to take back control of your health so that you can have the freedom to live the life that you want. I'm Lisa Morse, naturopathic physician on the island at Fern Cove Natural Medicine. I'm dedicated to helping you uncover the root cause of your symptoms so that you can get back on the road to feeling well again.
And I'm Claire Denise, certified health and wellness coach and a personal trainer. Our show is going to bring you information to help you take charge of your health. We're going to cover topics like IBS, heartburn, thyroid disorders, autoimmune diseases, osteoporosis, nutrition, and lots more.
Hi, Claire.
Hi, Lisa. How are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. I have a little frog in my throat.
Oh, boy.
But I feel fine.
Looks like you need some naturopathic medical care.
That could be. I'll be knocking on your door. But it's great to be here once again to work with you, talk with you here at Peak Health.
Yeah, it's great to be here with you. And I think we've been waiting for this topic.
I have been waiting for it a lot because we've talked about stress for the last two episodes, and this is going to be really useful in how to build a toolbox with tools in it, I should say, on how to balance our stress.
Yeah, we've been kind of talking about the negative consequences of stress and all this bad news for us. And so now we're going to come in with some good news on how to de-stress in a stressful world.
Yeah, and I think that's pretty key because, I mean, some stress obviously is good, but mm-hmm. the part that's bad, as we've talked about previously, could be damaging to our health. So
right.
I'm just going to explore some ways to mitigate, modulate, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, so I just want to start by saying that, you know, everyone has different stress responses and, you know, some people, there's this eternal question, you know, why do some people seem relatively unaffected by stress and others fall apart? And I think what we're going to talk about today is part of that, you know, the tools that people who seem relatively unaffected, you know, the tools that they employ that help them deal with stress better.
Yeah, you know, and when you just said that, it just reminded me that the whole election has had a lot of people really feeling stressed.
Yeah.
And it's somewhat beyond our control. so it would be good for those people to have some ways to balance it out a little bit.
I agree. Before we start, I want to say that you're listening to KVSHLP at 101.9 FM, Voice of Vashon.
And we are Claire and Lisa, the Island Health Sisters, and this is Peak Health.
Right. So what I want to start with is, talk about different modulators of stress. And so when I say modulator, that means, you know, what helps to, something that helps to balance our stress. And so the first one is outlets. And so the question is, do you have an outlet when you experience stress? And when I say outlet, I mean a healthy outlet. That doesn't mean, you know, going out and drinking, you know, 12-pack of beer or whatever, you know, drugs or whatever it is.
Oh,
or binging on food. So a healthy outlet. So, you know, examples of this would be exercise, having a hobby such as art, or even stretching, just even stretching. And another one, screaming. Which might seem kind of odd, but the purpose of the outlet is actually to release muscle tension. When we're stressed, we accumulate muscle tension in our body. And so we want to release the muscle tension. So whatever activity it could be, exercise and stretching is more of a direct way of releasing muscle tension versus doing art, you know, maybe just the simple practice of painting or whatever it is that you do as a side effect, you release the muscle tension.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, there's this interesting story about the cheetah. So the cheetahs hunt gazelles. And what happens when the cheetah comes around and a gazelle senses that is that the gazelle will actually, they don't run from the cheetah. They actually, they kind of crouch down and attempt to hide. And so they employ a great amount of muscle tension in doing this. And so I guess what's been observed is that if the cheetah does not get the gazelle and leaves the area, the gazelle will then release the stress from their body by running around and screaming or yelling or whatever they do, whatever kind of noises they make. But, you know, to release the tension in their body. So,
oh, that's funny. I wonder how often they're successful.
Oh, you mean to avoid the cheetah?
Right.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. Obviously, not all of the time.
So I guess they don't hold the stress in their bodies. They let it go.
Yeah. And so it's like animals in the wild, they don't hold stress in their body. They release it. As opposed to us humans, we've somehow got this great technique, or so we think we do, to just hold it in our body when we have stress. And it's not really a great technique. It's actually can be harmful and cause more health issues. And then, so another type of negative, I just want to mention this quickly, is another type of negative outlet would be taking out our stress on others. So it's actually been found that there's been an increase of child abuse during times of recession. So that there's just so much stress due to economic recession that there's higher rates of child abuse. So that would be a negative outlet for your stress.
So I think what I'm hearing you say is that it would be good for us to recognize when we are stressed, mm-hmm. or be maybe a little more self-aware.
Yeah, absolutely.
So then if we do know what our outlets are, that we could maybe begin to use them.
Right.
More effectively, instead of waiting until we were so stressed, we were, you know, wanting to throw something. Or...
Right. Absolutely. Yes. So I think awareness is huge. So that's a great thing to, you know, think about right now, is before you're stressed, because when we're stressed, then we tend to just resort to other things.
So are you saying that, you know, if we are aware of it, that maybe we could keep ourselves from becoming as stressed?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Huh.
Yeah. 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 So outlet is the first one. Another modulator of stress is social support. So people who have family or friends that they have close relationships with, they often have less negative effects of stress. And it's basically about having someone to talk to, you know, someone to lean on and to help dampen the effects of the stressor.
I worked at a corporation as a health coach for a while,
mm-hmm.
and one of the things that I used to suggest to people was that they take walks, not so much for exercise, but just for de-stressors. Mm. And so it became fairly common for people to have what they called walking meetings.
Really?
Where they could sort of talk things over, and I don't know, the fresh air probably helped as well. But
yeah, so actually that they would be incorporating the first two modulators. So they had the outlet for moving their body. And then they had the social support of
you know,
being with other people.
I was doing more than I thought I was.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's cool. Yeah. So another one is predictability. So obviously this isn't something we can always control. You know, whether we're going to be warned about an upcoming stressful event. You know, a perfect example is the storm, the great storm that
the great non-storm.
Yeah. Back in October. there was a lot of hype about that beforehand. And people, you know, actually were getting pretty stressed. I saw on Facebook, you know, people talking about how they took Xanax or whatever. And so when there's a stressful event that's being predicted, we don't want it to be too far in advance. Like that situation, you know, almost a week long of buildup. But then we also don't want it to be too short in advance. If we were to be, you know, if we were to be notified an hour or two before the storm, like a tsunami, for example,
mm-hmm.
that is super stressful. So just something to mention. Obviously, you know, we can't control the predictability always.
So when I think of predictability, though, that's a stressor that is currently not and then is coming, mm-hmm. such as the storm or mm-hmm. a tsunami. But what a lot of what we're talking about is the chronic stress.
It's true. Yeah. Absolutely.
That we live with every day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I think the next couple things that we're going to talk about as far as modulators, you know, whether or not we have a good predictable amount of stress or a good time amount of time that we're warned about a stressor, these other things play into part, if that makes any sense. We'll go in, we'll dive into them now. A sense of control. So the more sense of control that we have about something, the less stressful it can be. And again, we can't control everything, but the key word here is sense of control. When there's a stressor and we focus on the things that we can improve to, you know, that situation, that increases our sense of control. And so with the storm, you know, we didn't have a lot of control that there was going to be a storm coming, but we focused on, or at least my family did. I don't know if everyone did. We focused on what could be done.
I know. I think I did too.
Yeah.
I bought batteries and stocked up on water. And
yeah.
I think everybody went to the grocery.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. I heard that Target was sold out of candles. One of my friends went to Target to get a candle. And
really?
They were sold out. So, but yeah, so, you know, doing what you can to gain a sense of control over the situation. And, you know, another example would be, say you have a stressful relationship with one of your family members. You can't change who they are, but you can change the way that you react to him or her. So maybe not engaging in some of the discussions or whatever it may be with your stressful family member.
Well, I think that speaks right to what you said of having some sense of control.
Mm-hmm.
But for instance, a younger sibling might defer to an older sibling, but not really agree with them.
Right.
So if they can feel like they have a sense of control, they're not stuck in the hierarchy of, you know, being younger.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So again, just to mention, you know, we don't always have, aren't able to control things in our lives, but just in doing what we can to gain a sense of control. And then just being aware, more aware of, you know, that we don't have control always, and you know, be gentle with yourself when you can't.
I like
something that you can't control. Yeah, I like that too. So, and then the next thing is perception, and this is like probably I think the one of the most important ones, and it's just about how do we perceive that stressful event. You know, do we look at it as the worst case scenario, or do we look on the bright side? And so think about an example of losing your job. You know, do you perceive yourself as worthless if you lose your job, or do you look at it as an opportunity?
Well, yeah. That would take some practice.
Absolutely.
I could vouch for that, because when you do lose a job, in the case of myself, I got laid off.
Mm-hmm.
You can talk to yourself and use your frontal cortex, but you also need to talk to that emotional part that feels stung or like worthless. I'm not sure if that exactly applied, but it's the glass half full, glass half empty, I think,
yeah.
Syndrome, and, you know, which you tend towards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. And I'm not saying that when you lose your job that it's all going to be rosy and you're going to be, you know, the day after you're going to be like, oh, great. You know, I mean, absolutely not. I mean, there's a place for, you know, emotions and anger and grief and all of that stuff. And it's important to express those emotions. And then, you know, but also looking on both sides, you know, not having it all be the negativity and, you know, just thinking about, well, you know, what does this mean for me? And is this mean that, you know, there's something else out there for me? So.
Yeah. And sometimes I guess I would say sometimes things that are stressful are lessons that we are going to learn, and mm-hmm. they can turn out to be fairly significant and not bad at all.
So. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Yeah. So I just want to interrupt again and say this is KVSH LP. At 101.9 FM, Voice of Vashon, this is Peak Health that you're listening to with, I'm Dr. Lisa Morse, and I'm here with Claire DeNice, personal trainer and health coach. So we're talking about stress and how to de-stress in a stressful world. So we just reviewed the things that can modulate stress or help balance it. And we talked about outlets, social support, predictability, a sense of control, and perception. And so I think right now we're going to talk about just different techniques for stress management. And there's going to be some overlap because a lot of these techniques are actually part of, those modulators that I just mentioned. So the first one is exercise. And so we mentioned that under outlet, you know, that exercise can be helpful for relieving muscle tension in our body. And in general, when I have patients, I recommend exercise, you know, 5 times a week. Not all on the weekend. Some people like to just save it all up for the weekend and do 2 or 3 hours. But it's preferable to do it every day if you can. 5 times a week is fine too. But and then 20 to 30 minutes a session.
Well, you know, since I'm a personal trainer,
yeah,
there's certainly a lot of things people can do. If you don't particularly like exercise, it doesn't mean you can't find something that is like you may like things that are really active, like, say, a boot camp class, or you might like something that's fairly passive, like a walk in the woods.
Yes.
But all of those things, particularly if it's suited to you, are going to be beneficial.
Yeah, so, absolutely. Yeah, I think you have to make it something that you like to do.
Exactly.
And I think if you're doing something you don't like, if you're going to the gym and you're just like, oh, I hate this, you know, those negative emotions, you know, associated with that, the activity is not going to be as beneficial. And so, yeah.
Won't do it for very long.
That's true. I'll be doing it for like a week and you're done. Yeah. So again, so exercise is huge, for stress management and as well as any other outlet. So, you know, anything, dancing, you know, watching funny movies, and like I said before, doing art, something that's enjoyable to you to relieve the tension in your body. I try to be silly at home because I like to laugh. And so it just, when I think of watching funny movies, it's kind of similar. It's like, because I just feel like laughter is huge.
I think it's worth like 10 minutes of exercise.
Yeah. There's probably some study on that too.
I'm sure there is. Sometimes I'll watch funny videos like you're just mentioning, cat videos or dog videos, since I like dogs. Yeah. You can just go joke of the day, Google joke of the day, and there'll be jokes.
Okay.
Just anything to kind of move you into that half full mind frame.
Absolutely. I love it. find an enjoyable outlet.
And don't watch the news before you go to bed.
That is
usually depressing.
Well, I have nightmares from that. So when I watch the news, especially before you go to bed. So yeah. And then the next thing I was going to say was deep breathing, and just talking about breathing and how it puts us into the parasympathetic mode, which we've talked about before on the show. Which is part of our nervous system that's, the rest and digest part. It's the opposite of sympathetic, which is the stress mode of the nervous system. So when we become stressed, our sympathetic nervous system kicks in. And when we're relaxed, our parasympathetic kicks in. And so deep breathing helps put us into the parasympathetic mode. And one of the tools that I use for my patients is something called heart rate variability. And so what happens when we breathe and when we're in a parasympathetic mode is that our heart rate goes up when we inhale, and when we exhale, it slows down. And there's a program, it's called Heart Math Inner Balance. And so you can connect your ear with this little clip and connect it to one of your smart devices, and you can monitor your heart rate and see how it is changing. I mean, you can also do this by just feeling your pulse. If you're doing deep, slow breathing, you can actually feel that your pulse will speed up as you inhale, and then as you exhale, it slows down.
That's interesting. I didn't know. So you'd have to have some kind of a balance, I guess, to know really how fast your heart was beating, if it was speeding up and slowing down and speeding up and slowing down within a minute, right?
Well, wait, what do you mean?
Well, if you say your heart rate speeds up when you breathe in, and you breathe in and out like 12 times a minute, I think it is, that means your heart rate's constantly changing.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Hmm.
It's I know, it's a weird thing, isn't it? I didn't know this till I went to Yeah, and you will be able to see that. And like I said, if you feel it even too, like you feel your pulse, you can feel it. But so it's an indication about whether you're in the parasympathetic mode. And so this HeartMath program will monitor your heart rate. And so you'll see when I do it, it's usually between 60 and 80. So like at the bottom of my exhale, or as I'm exhaling, it's going down, you know, 70 down to 60. And then I inhale and then it starts going up 70 to 80. It's kind of a odd thing to describe, because it's like, how is this thing really measuring your heart rate? But I don't know. It's very interesting.
Well, you know, what I would say about deep breathing is certainly it's a part of yoga.
Uh-huh.
And it helps us to become more aware of our breathing.
Right.
And there are some different types of breathing exercises that people can learn, mm-hmm. which are relaxing and can actually help to decrease your heart rate.
Yeah.
So it all works together.
And I think, not to be getting too technical here with the HeartMath program, but I think what's important is paying attention to how your body feels when you're doing the breathing, you know? And so this actually helps you to notice when you're stressed, you know, how you're breathing differently or how your body's feeling differently than it is when you're in that calm place. So something to consider is the deep breathing.
So HeartMath is probably heartmath.com or something like that.
I believe so. It's called HeartMath Inner Balance. Inner Balance is the program.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
What else?
Okay. So this kind of is overlapping again, but social support. You know, when you're feeling stressed, talk to somebody. Whether it's your counselor, whether it's just a friend or a family member. And, you know, one of the biggest things is not to stuff those emotions, to let them out. And, you know, talking with someone allows that to happen.
Well, I think sometimes people even stuff their mouths with food mm-hmm. in order not to feel emotions. So
absolutely.
You certainly don't want to do that either.
Yeah, there's a lot of ways that people avoid their emotions. But I think it's just really important to talk to somebody.
Well, the main thing is we don't want to have any kind of negative physical effect on ourselves, right?
Right. Yeah. And there, like I said, there's a belief that holding in our emotions can actually cause illness, physical illness.
Part of epigenetics, that you can influence the expression of your genes to be strong and healthy, or to sort of create an environment that is more open to being unwell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it kind of goes to with, like, if you've heard, you know, like maybe some people get nauseous when they're, you know, feeling undecided or nervous about something like that. I mean, that's just a simple example of, you know, feeling nauseous or having diarrhea or something when you're stressed, you know. So just something to be aware of. Yeah. So another thing I wanted to mention was helping others and turning to someone else who needs your help can actually reduce your stress.
I like that.
Yeah, it takes the focus off of yourself, and it can help to put things into perspective, you know, when maybe you're feeling very stressed about whatever's going on in your life, and you're able to look at somebody else and see what they're going through, and realizing that maybe it's worse or maybe it's better, but that we all experience these kind of things in our life. And
I think it helps us get over ourselves to help someone else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it could be a friend or family member that needs your help, or you could go out and volunteer, you know, we're not helping someone that you don't know very well, but just getting that perspective is important.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. And so I think the last one that I'm going to talk about is, again, the most important. I always save the best for last, I guess. Well, I don't know if it's the most important. They're all important, but it's just reframing your perception of the stressor.
How do you do that?
Yeah.
I mean, how you think is how you think, right?
Right. Well, not necessarily. I mean, you are in control of how you think. Don't give that control up. It's huge. I'm going to talk about a couple different ways to reframe your perception of the stressor, how you view it. So gaining a sense of control about the situation. So like we talked about earlier, you know, doing what you can to improve it and coming up with creative solutions.
Sort of like talking yourself down?
Yeah, I would say so. Well, I don't know about talking yourself down, maybe, but you know, just focusing on what you can change and being creative about it. The next one is questioning your thoughts. So like in that example, when you lose your job, does it really mean that you are worthless? If you're having those kind of thoughts, is that really, is it just a belief or is it really true? You know, and if you're wondering and you're not sure, maybe talk to somebody about it. So I think.
Okay, so you can change how you think, really.
Yeah, you can. Absolutely. Absolutely. So questioning your thoughts. And then another one is looking at the big picture. You know, what will you think of this event if you look back in 20 years? You know, are you going to view it as, oh, it was just another blip in my life? Or are you going to view it as this horrible, horrible situation that you may be viewing it as now?
Yeah, that sounds like it would put it in a better perspective.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the last one is just imagining your stressor as a challenge. And, you know, so in the example of the job loss, you know, obviously feel those emotions, but then also consider, is there something that you've been wanting to do with your life that now that this happened, losing your job makes it more possible? Maybe another career path you've been wanting to explore. And I just encourage the listeners to, you know, sit with the fact that the stressor is happening for a reason, you know, and exploring, you know, what could be the reason. So, yeah. So those are all ways of reframing. So we talked about gaining a sense of control, you know, about the situation, questioning your thoughts, talking to someone if you need to, looking at the big picture, and then imagining your stressor as a challenge.
You know, there's a lot written about motivation. Mm-hmm. Generally speaking, motivation is the impetus to have some kind of movement, but not necessarily in a positive direction. But one big motivator is problem solving. So maybe you could look at as a stressor as a problem that needs to be solved.
Mm-hmm.
And so that could be a motivating factor, which would turn it into a bit more of a positive.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I agree. I like it. Yeah. So I think that we're about ready to wrap up here. I mean,
Oh, Lisa, I thought of one other one.
Yeah.
Meditation.
Oh, yes.
I don't know if that fits under your modulators category or more into the tools.
Outlet. I think it's an outlet.
It's an outlet. So meditation, it's been around for forever probably, mm-hmm. but it's gotten a lot more press lately, mm-hmm. I think.
Mm-hmm.
And it has a lot of different forms. So you could adapt it to something that was amenable to you as an individual.
Yeah.
You don't have to be a woo-woo guru in order to do it. It's even supposed to be just in general good for our physical health as well as just alleviating stress.
Yeah. And so how would you recommend people go about meditation then if they've never experienced it?
You could obviously go get a book that you could mm-hmm. go online and Google meditation. There's a lot of places online where there are some meditations that you can follow along with, mm-hmm. or you could sit up nice and straight in your chair and put your feet on the floor and close your eyes and just go inward for a little while.
Yeah.
You could put some music on that you like, something that's soothing. You can come up with, pardon me?
Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say you could come up with a sort of a mantra to repeat mm-hmm. that allows your body to sort of just let go. You could do some breathing exercises while you're closing your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of different ways to
meditate. Yeah, I think sometimes we build things up to be bigger than they really are. And they're, you know, just like you said, just sitting up straight and breathing and just focusing.
Grounding yourself. Put your feet on the floor.
Yeah, it's not that complicated.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be complicated
mm-hmm.
at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, cool. Well, I'm glad you mentioned that one. So in conclusion, I just want to, you know, talk to our listeners and, you know, encourage them to, you know, implement, you know, the outlets and maybe working on, you know, reframing perceptions and, you know, finding a social support.
How about reaching out to a naturopathic doctor?
Yes.
Or a health coach.
Yeah. And I feel like if you still need help, you know, you're trying to follow what we are talking about today, you know, find a counselor, naturopathic doctor, or health coach. And there you go, health coach, you know, to give you some guidance if you need it. And don't be afraid to reach out. You know, we all need help sometimes in our lives, and dealing with stress is essential if we're going to maintain adequate health.
Yeah. Well, this is Peak Health Radio Show, where we are dedicated to educating and inspiring you, our listeners, to take back control of your health. You can have the freedom to live the life that you desire.
Thanks, Claire. And until next time, you guys, take care of yourself.
You too, Lisa. Okay. Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.